You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
It is indeed. And this morning in the studio, we've got Dr. Eting Trung from the Urban Design School of Architecture and Planning in the Faculty of Creative Arts and Industries here at the University of Auckland. Kia ora, welcome to the studio.
Kia ora, thank you for having me in the studio.
Thank you for coming in. Talking a little bit about some research that you've been doing into green spaces in cities, which is obviously massively topical when we talk about climate resilience, when we talk about making, you know, healthier communities. But you've been looking specifically into where we put these and who's prioritised when we have those conversations. Can you tell us a wee bit about that research?
Yes, it's my honour. Actually, because of the densification of the cities, we've started looking at people losing their green spaces, especially in the neighbourhoods. And a city like Auckland is so green, you wouldn't think that it's going to be a problem with green spaces, but actually in urban development and the population growth, we know that it's going to be a lot of competing uses for those open spaces. And usually the green spaces are the first to go. And then we can see a lot of development happening in the, you know, our housing crisis, and the public housing neighborhoods are building a lot of higher density spaces. And the first thing to go, of course, is the green space.
Why is that a problem? Because obviously we need houses, we need density housing, we need people to be able to live close to where they work, live close to the shops. But why does it matter if we get rid of our parks and our green areas?
Yeah, no, park is such an integral part of the city and it provides multiple benefits. It's not just physical and well-being for ourselves, but also is sort of environmentally important, because then we can provide stormwater management, like we had the flood issue and event lately. And also, I think there is also the ecological, you know, benefit of, you know, providing a home for animals as well. So taking those spaces away for housing, I mean, I'm all prone for higher density
development. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Because it's such a more sustainable way of living. But I think that's very short-sighted if we take that away and using it as a housing, not considering a longer term implication or consequences.
So it's one of those things where, you know, no one in this room at least is debating that we need, you know, that dense housing. Right. There are some people out there who have their reckons on that,
exactly.
But, you know, we know we need that and we need it pretty quickly. But, you know, from your perspective, what are the conversations we need to be having with the council and with government and with planners to make sure that we're not just rushing this in the wrong way?
Exactly. I mean, there are so many good examples and precedents in Europe or even in Asia. People are living in a higher density environment. It's just that we need to switch our mentality of what kind of living environment is better. Because, you know, imagine you have a private yard, but you actually have to mow it and you don't really use it as much. But imagine if we consolidate all these green spaces privately, we consolidate all these private spaces into a bigger public spaces, we get more benefit, we get more spaces, and we can, you know, socialize with our neighbors as well. So there's multiple benefits. It's just that we need to sort of think outside of the boxes of what we can live like.
Hard out. Yeah. And obviously you mentioned the flooding. That was, I guess, a really immediate example of what those parks and those green areas do. You could see it in your neighborhood going around the wells of water, but the park's draining, you know. That stuff's really important. Do you feel confident or hopeful at least that maybe that's been taken into consideration by planners and governments?
Yes, actually that's been it's been one of the key policies that people consider with a greenfield development. There are infrastructures that you have to meet so then the new development and neighborhood can be created. But again, we're talking about taking up greenfield spaces.
Yeah.
But we really should think about retrofitting our, you know, dense urban cores, and that's where a lot of public housing environment are sort of built in a more deprived area just because it's cheaper to acquire the land.
Totally.
And then public open spaces are the least probably on the list, which is a concern. And then we might not think it's a problem now, but it would be a really large consequences in the longer term and future.
Totally. So what does it look like to retrofit an urban part of, you know, Auckland, for example, or any other city where you've got a lot of concrete, where you've got a lot of high rises, where how do you go about putting green back into those areas?
Right. I mean, the first thing we can do is we shrink the road spaces, you know, take away some parking spaces, planting a few more trees, look at into rain gardens. Mm. That little things that we do would accumulate and really help the city to grow in a greener way.
You mentioned at the top, you know, we look at Auckland, it is a very green city. We're lucky that it is so green, but you don't, you know, you do notice when you're in Grey Lynn, the trees are nice and leafy, but when you get out to Onehunga, there's a lot less trees around.
Yeah.
We know that's a problem. I think the council has talked about how that's an issue. Mm. Is that something that you see as being a priority, is making sure that, you know, the areas that get focused on for regenerating that green are actually deliberate? Is that something that you'd hope is taken into consideration?
They definitely should, but the key issue is that the councils doesn't have the, you know, the money to maintain it, and then actually cost more to provide to have a tree there than pave it with concrete. I think another thing we can do is the community initiative. So the neighborhood may take this upon themselves and start planting or take over spaces that they can use, like we see examples in overseas case studies. So that would be something I think we can start right away.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's such an interesting world to keep diving into. What is your big hope for Tāmaki Makaurau, particularly as a city? What would you like to see in terms of, you know, regeneration?
Right. I think we are such a city that we are very lucky that we still have a lot of spaces and we can still plan ahead. Yep. We can learn from the mistakes that other city has made. So I think prioritizing, keep the green spaces as the priority and build around it. And we just have to think in another different way of living, and providing higher density, that means we don't lose all these green spaces. So I think we still have, I mean, we are so lucky in Tāmaki Makaurau. So I don't want to see that we made the wrong foot ahead and, you know, make the same mistakes as other city has.
Hard out. Hey, thank you so much for your time this morning, Dr. Yiting Tran. Sorry. It's so good to have you in the studio today. And there is a fantastic article that you've written for Newsroom called Our Leafy Oases Shouldn't Be Reserved for the Privileged. We'll put a link to that in the podcast for anyone who wants to check that one out. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn, thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.